Good morning to everybody. The text we'll use today is a similar text to what was read, but this one comes from Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 37 to 40. All four Gospels have this story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." From our point in history, we see Palm Sunday with a mixture of happiness and sadness. We understand the happiness and praises of the crowd. But we know that a few days later, a different crowd will come out at nighttime against Jesus with swords and clubs to arrest him. But the people who were there on Palm Sunday didn't know the future. They were living in the moment that surrounded them, just grateful to express their praise to God for this wonderful person, Jesus, and for the mighty works they had seen him do. As I was thinking about Palm Sunday, I was curious about the people who were rejoicing as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. Could the crowd have included people whom Jesus had healed and set free? The people who'd had mighty works done to them? Or people who'd heard him gladly and been helped by his words? Was the blind man from John 9 there? Was Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead, there? How about someone up in Galilee who had heard the parable of the Good Samaritan before traveling down to this Passover? In our reading from Matthew 20 and 21, we do know that two blind men from Jericho, now healed, followed him, joining in the great crowds that surrounded him, ahead and behind, as he traveled from Galilee through Jericho towards Jerusalem. I'm pretty sure that Zacchaeus, the tax collector from Jericho, would also have been among the crowd. Just before on Jesus' way through Jericho, Zacchaeus had received Jesus joyfully. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost," Jesus said to him and to those in the house. Jerusalem itself was already bustling with more crowds that had come from other parts of the country, especially for the Passover festival. Among those Jerusalem crowds, how many people from Galilee were present when Jesus arrived in the city with his crowds? How many had been among those who had eaten up the loaves and fishes miraculously multiplied? How many who had heard his Sermon on the Mount or his story of the Good Samaritan? So many people were there that it would be unusual for the crowd not to include these people. Pondering these things and understanding who may have been in the crowd on Palm Sunday helps us more fully understand him who was later on the cross. The man on the cross was the same teacher they had heard, the one who said, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." The same one who had announced the coming of the kingdom of God. The same one who had shown authority over all evil powers. The one who had brought life and health to uncountable sick people. He had begun his work. He had continued his work. And on the cross, he was about to complete his work of giving life to all who believed. Today we're going to help each other remember who was on the cross by sharing with one another who we think may have been in the crowd on that day. What story did they bring about Jesus? So rather than concentrating on a sermon, today's plan is for us to share our own thoughts and reflections about that crowd. So here's what I'm envisioning for today's gathering. We'll have a time of sharing your discoveries from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which record all that Jesus began to do and teach. After some time of sharing, we're going to pause for a song before continuing the time of sharing, after which I will finish with some thoughts before our closing songs, prayer, and announcement, as usual. Starting in a moment, please share by reading to us the passage you found and any reflections you have about it, including what you think the person in the crowd may have said about Jesus that joyful day. Be prepared also to add thoughts and questions to others' contributions. Feel free, as people speak, to either reorientate your chair or reorientate your body on the chair so you can turn and face, if you want to, the person talking. If you like to speak while you face people, you'd be better to do it from the front. Otherwise, you're welcome to stay where you're seated. If anyone has a very weak voice today which needs amplification, I brought a battery-operated speaker. Just ask, I'll let you use it. As we go into that, let's pray. Father, the fact that we are here today traces all the way back to the week that we're talking about leading up to Easter. The fact that we're here today also shows that we are people who would have liked to have been in that crowd and to share our praises with Jesus for the things that we have seen him do in our own lives. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share with one another, to build one another up in the faith, to encourage one another, to rejoice with each other as we think on Jesus. Amen. So I want to thank you for sharing and for listening. I like these times when we have more than one voice. I also like the times when we just have one voice. However, one of the things that struck me about the passages that we read concerning this Palm Sunday, they asked, who is this? And that's as I said in the email, that's a kind of a messenger message. And that's kind of a personal question to each one of us. You know, who is Jesus to you? Now, so one thing I want to kind of say as we come to a close, we tend to think and concentrate rightly on Jesus on the cross, but there's a danger in that the view of the cross blocks all these stories that are behind it. We tend to see Jesus has this part, he's doing all these things. And then he has this part on the cross as two separate stories. But they're not two separate stories. His death and resurrection should be seen as a continuation of his life before the cross. He said, I must complete the work the Father gave me. And then he said, on the cross, it is finished. So it was a continuation. It was a continuation of his work of power over the temptations of the accuser. As it came up to the cross, he was sorely tempted to, if there's a way out of here, I'd like to take it, but he didn't. It was a continuation of his work of power over all other spiritual forces. He defeated all Satan's kingdom on the cross. It was a continuation of his work to restore health and wholeness. And that he's going to actually give us all new risen bodies. It was a continuation of his work to bring in the kingdom of God. A continuation of his love. And a continuation of being able to still be with us through the Holy Spirit. Through his death and resurrection. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Not only does he have the words of eternal life, but he is the life. Let's pray. As we pray to you, Father, through the name of your Son, Jesus, we're praying through the name of the one we've been reading about today in the Gospels, who taught, who forgave, who healed, who was opposed, who was tempted, and who loved, who humbled himself even to death on the cross for our sake. We give you thanks and we ask you to continue this week to keep our minds turning to this Son of yours, whom you have glorified and who's seated at your right hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.